When data is your most prized asset, keeping it secure is the single greatest challenge facing many of today's businesses. Companies have invested billions of dollars over the years in strengthening their security. But we still see breaches like the WannaCry, Equifax, Uber, and several others. Attacks have become ever more frequent, and the tactics employed by hackers and cyber criminals ever more innovative. Cyber threats are becoming more sophisticated, and the attacks more damaging financially and to the reputation of the company. In the next 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about what is cybersecurity, why are cyber crimes on the rise, and what can an enterprise and an individual do to protect against it. Welcoming Vishal Salvi, the Chief Information Security Officer at Infosys. Vishal, thank you so much for joining us. First, if you could start off by telling us, what is cybersecurity, and is it more of a threat today than it was a couple of years ago?
So thanks for having me here, Reema. Cybersecurity is actually a business area which is focusing on how do we manage the threat of cyber risk which are facing the organizations today, right? And it's become a profession on its own because of the way it has the cybercrime itself has evolved in the last two decades, right? And it's taken a separate position from the technology operations that we had in past, right? So it is obviously a evolving and niche field. It is also a challenge which most of the corporates are facing right now, you know, in terms of how they are having their digitized assets, how they are managing the financial transactions and online businesses. And we see a lot of vulnerabilities and a lot of attacks which are coming up. So cybersecurity is all about managing, all these risks which are unfolding in today's businesses.
But do you think the problem is getting more menacing today? With the rise of, say, Internet of Things, mobile connectivity, we are living in a very connected and digitally exhaustive world.
So yeah, I mean, it is definitely exponentially growing. It's because the way the digital transformation itself is happening, and the next is about, you know, how companies are getting more and more online. And the third thing is that while there is significant amount of innovation which is happening, the way in which we are able to fix and get security embedded into all this innovation is always taking two steps behind in terms of what the innovation is happening. So as a result of that, we are actually having the gap between the innovation and the security growing, day by day. And that is, definitely compounding the problem, in terms of what we are seeing today. Coupled with this, you're seeing about, the IoT, Internet of Things, connected devices, wearable devices, and we'll have, and all of them are IP enabled, and all of them are connected, online to internet. So as a result of that, it creates an exposure, a very large attack surface, which can be exploited for various purposes, right? Whether it is financial motivation, whether it is hacktivism, whether it is state-sponsored, espionage, various aspects. So all these threat actors are exploiting these vulnerabilities which are getting created. And as a result, it's obviously, as you rightly said, the problem is getting compounded on an ongoing basis.
Okay. There is a lot of awareness, yet we see so many cyber attacks, whether it was WannaCry in 2017 or Uber in 2016, the Equifax data breach. Why is that happening?
So there is definitely a lot of awareness. 5 years back when we used to talk about it, it was not a board issue, but now it's a board issue and people are aware and leadership is aware and people are doing the right things to fixing and make sure that cyber risks are managed. But the reality of the situation is that human race will take time to respond to how we deal with computers, right? And therefore, what you do online, whether it is terms of understanding terms and conditions, in terms of being careful with your credentials and passwords, and so on and so forth, we're still not as evolved as we are when it comes to physical world, right? When it comes to managing your signatures, your checkbooks, and you tend to be more careful and more prudent in terms of handling it as compared to how you do your online identity and access.
So can these attacks have been averted, and what could a company have done, an enterprise could have done, to prevent these attacks?
So you cannot have a notion of 100% security ever, right? Having said that, you can always ensure that you are investing and doing the right things optimally in terms of making sure that your organization is cyber resilient. What I mean by that is, do you understand the cyber risk for your organization? Do you ensure that you have identifying and allocating adequate amount of money for investing in putting cybersecurity controls? And then do you have the team and the technology to deliver that mission of ongoing improvement in your program? All these three things can be done. And forward-looking organizations who know this is a very important issue and see cybersecurity, if not top three, at least top five risks for your organization, are able to be ahead of the curve in terms of making sure that they are putting necessary controls in place to, you know, avert all these challenges that organizations are facing. So it can be done, and it's always a cat and mouse game, right? You know, you find something new, you go and fix it. Somebody else gets exploited. But what I've seen in my two decades of cybersecurity career is that if you have the right strategy, if you have the right leadership support, you can solve this problem. And one more point, which is, it's not about just prevention. It's about how resilient your organization is to even identify a particular breach and recover from that very quickly and get back to business as usual. So it's not just about prevention, but also detection and response together becomes a potent strategy for cyber resilience.
Okay. Can you talk about the common vulnerabilities which attackers use to get into enterprises, software as well as hardware, and even from an individual point of view?
Yeah, so there are things like application attacks. So, you know, you would have various applications which are hosted on internet.
And
so whether it is your online banking application or your insurance application or your just your organization's website, and you allow a lot of your customers to go and do various interactions and upload data and receive some information. So so you know, you have this these digital assets, and there could be, you know, certain ways in which the hackers would go in and manipulate that information and ingest a malware or change the code of an application by changing the limits of an application or modifying the information or collecting data. So there are various things that can happen. So this is one example of attacks that we see. Another very popular and most common method used by the fraudsters is phishing.
That is PH.
Starting with PH.
Starting with PH.
And 90% of the attacks which we see get orchestrated through email by a phishing attack.
What is a phishing attack?
So it's a very simple email or a lure is sent to a non-suspecting user, and the user clicks or downloads a particular file. It actually can download a malware on your computer. It can remain dormant. It can start collecting information, and that information can be then used against you. A simple example of a banking phishing attack is a mail is sent out saying, this is coming from the bank, and it'll appear as if it's actually coming from the bank, but actually it's not. And then you are asked to give your credentials, your net banking ID and passwords, and some additional information. And once you share that, you don't even know that you are actually compromised, and then that information is used against you, and a fraud is committed. So this is a very common technique used. We call it social engineering, and basically all humans have the keys, which are passwords. And so you social engineer a human being to share that password in various methods and means, and therefore, once the credentials are available, then, attacks happen. So there are many such examples, typically what we have seen in our industry is the evolution of the malware, right? And there are various variants of this malware. And what is a malware? It's just a software which whose intention is to do bad on your computer, right, or your mobile phone. And it will be resident. It will find out a way to go and reside on your device. And once it is there, it can, do various things. It can delete data. It can encrypt your device and ask for a ransom. It can collect information and do an unauthorized financial transaction, or it could just collect your confidential data or intellectual property and use it against your individual, your corporate, or your state. So there are various methods used by the fraudsters that way.
Okay. Coming back to phishing, because it pertains to individuals, how can I protect myself from knowing that this is an email which I shouldn't open?
Yeah, so I think the thumb rule is that there are no free lunches. And so if anybody is offering you anything free, you should be suspicious of that. And so never fall for that lure. That's point number one. Point number two is if any bank or anybody is asking you for any information which they already know, you should suspect it, because why would a bank ask for your account number when they already have that? So never respond or click to those attacks. We have this saying called think before you click, right? So practice that. And it applies not just for bank, it applies for even a mail coming from your friend. If somebody is saying, I have stuck somewhere and I don't know what to do, and please transfer this money, all you need to do is just call up your friend and you'll know whether it's real or not. You don't need to respond to that mail. So, and apart from that, there are a lot of things you need to do in terms of putting the latest antivirus on your computer. A lot of these antivirus solutions also have a mobile app where you can install, and it will tell you which app is a rogue one, which is a good one. So there's lots that you can do in terms of protecting your devices as much as also following the safe practices.
How big is the cybersecurity market in India, and what is the expected size of it, say, a couple of years down? Do companies look at cybersecurity as an afterthought, as a cost center today?
So, cybersecurity, if you look at it, the CISO office, it's a business enabling function. I have always seen my role as somebody who adds value, to the business. In fact, there are a lot of areas, especially online banking, and I was a CISO for a bank for many years. If you want confidence on internet to do digital banking, you need security. If you are doing anything, if you are falling from the sky and doing bungee jumping and other things, you need safety net, right? If you are in an F1 race, you need cars with strong brakes. So it's the same with online banking. If you want to really reach out and open up the channel for your customers, you need to have a very strong security embedded onto that platform, right? So cybersecurity is very strong platform. If you don't have security, you can't have banking, right? Online banking. So there are a lot of these examples in regular business world where you'll find that it's a direct value which is on the table. But there are a lot of places where that value is not so apparent, but you still need to invest and secure that infrastructure, because the strategy of hoping that the risk is not in my office or my company but somewhere else is not a great strategy to be. The strategy of hope is always doomed to fail. So you always need to make sure that you have a good strategy, and you need to have these controls. So CISO's role and the cybersecurity function plays that enabling role. As far as the business is concerned and the size of the business is concerned, because it's a big issue, the cybersecurity industry worldwide globally is around $150 billion right now, and growing rapidly. It is because obviously the stakes are also high, whether it's a reputational damage or the financial damage that you could have, and so regulatory impact and fines and litigations, right? So all this is actually making the cybersecurity industry grow. In fact, in our industry right now, we have huge demand and less supply of people and technology, right? So we are right now grappling with this issue of, you know, how do we actually get highly skilled people to actually address the growing demand of skills required to solve this problem.
Okay, just as we wrap the discussion, if you could tell us the top cybersecurity trends for 2019.
Yeah, so I think the rudimentary trend of phishing and online banking related frauds is continuously growing. That is not going to change. We are seeing more and more sophisticated malwares getting generated, and you know, we are seeing, you know, those happening. We saw a major attack of ransomware in 2017, and that actually changed significantly the cybersecurity world in terms of how we looked at cybersecurity.
And which one is this?
WannaCry and NotPetya,
okay.
And you know, those ransomware attacks. So we will see more of those happening. You know, a lot of places we're seeing the companies which are getting impacted are not the target. So you don't need to really be a target to be a victim.
But have you learned the lessons from WannaCry?
So there are definitely a lot of lessons learned. My question really is that whether those lessons learned have really been consistently applied across the industry. So that is where I still have my doubt. But those organizations which have either gone through it, or those organizations who have seen it closely, are the ones who have responded to them more, you know, purposefully as compared to those who are not. So that is, I think, definitely the reality. But coming back to the point, I think, so the malware-related risk, the phishing-related attacks which are there, and also, you know, in future, I think the biggest challenge is about looking at, you know, the connected devices, the connected cars, the wearables. So I think cybersecurity of future is about human safety as much as it is about, you know, online, you know, reputation and other things. Because
why are you getting the safety variable now inside?
Because the moment you have computers which are having four wheels, computers which are cooling, or computers which are which you wear, right? It is actually a computer, and when you talk about a computer, you need to worry about malware and viruses and all these attacks, and they are all connected devices. So you can easily have the same, and because now they are impacting humans, they can be made to malfunction to achieve, you know, the objectives of threat actors, right?
Okay. So basically you're saying that if I'm now going to be, if I have an autonomous car, and if that software turns rogue, it can lead to an accident. It can throw me into a ditch or not apply the brakes when it's time to. Is that the safety element you're talking
absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Or look at a situation. You are on a busy traffic, and there are, you know, cars running around. All you need to do is just make them do certain things, and you have a massive traffic jam, and you can imagine the impact to the economy,
the
that can happen,
the
chaos
yeah.
that you can create. So it these kind of scenarios are, you know,
scary to think about.
Scary, but at the same time not they're real, right? You can easily do this, and there are examples of that. So I think we need to be careful in terms of how we build and it's an issue of policy in terms of how do you write the right policies and frameworks to govern how you know, this aspect of connected everything is managed going forward.
So the
forward.
Biggest risk of a cyber attack is that to a human life in the future?
In future, it is going to be about human safety.
It's going to be about human safety.
As much as it is about what it is right now about, you know, financial and reputation and regulatory risks, I think the future is all about, is also going to be about human safety.
Okay, on that note, we're going to thank Vishal for his time. We'll be back with another episode of Tech at Work.